A few minutes into the trading day today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell over 1,000 points, but it then recovered some. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Dow Jones Industrial Average in early trading at one point was down over 1,000 points. That's the biggest intraday point drop in history, but nowhere close to the largest percentage drop. This after the key index on the Shanghai Stock Exchange fell 8.5%, an outcome that government-controlled media in China labeled Black Monday. Justin Wolfers is a professor of economics at the University of Michigan and a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think? The Fed won't engineer an increase in interest rates in a few weeks after all?
For sure, I think the Fed shouldn't. The Fed tells us that their target is inflation. And we keep looking in the inflation numbers, we keep looking in the wage data, and there seems to be no evidence that inflation is going to pick up anytime soon. That's the economy telling us that the recovery could run quite a bit further as long as we let it. They've been sitting pat now for years and years and years, and if you're on a committee whose job is to change monetary policy and you haven't actually done any of that in a long time, you start to get an itchy trigger finger.
Do you think what's happening with China and the weakness there and their devaluation is deflationary from the U.S. perspective?
There's two ways of thinking about the economy right now. You can look at the data. The data say there's no inflation pressure. Or you can think about this in theory. As the economy tightens, inflation should rise. Well, the economy's been tightening. The labor market's been tightening. Inflation hasn't risen. In terms of what's happening in China in particular, as the Chinese currency has weakened, that has made Chinese goods cheaper. It turns out not that much stuff that we buy actually comes from China. And so there is a disinflationary impact from that, but it's not large and it's not going to be immediate.
It's so counterintuitive. We're not buying that much from China these days?
Turns out most of the stuff you buy is made in the United States. I went for a haircut yesterday. My hairdresser was most assuredly in the United States. I went to the store. I bought a bunch of groceries. Most of them were grown in the United States. We are an open economy, but the U.S. is not, by any stretch of the imagination, as open as many other countries.
Justin, I have to ask you, how nervous are you about this global decline in share prices that we've been seeing? It's really into day three of really some dramatic surges downward.
You know the old expression that the stock market has picked 10 of the last three recessions. So, you know, the joke there, of course, is that movements like this happen all the time and often amount to nothing. But the reason to be concerned, though, is there are real reasons why people are selling stocks, and the outlook does look worse today than it did yesterday.
University of Michigan economist Justin Wolfers, thank you very much.
You bet.
Switching from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, where we found Professor Wolfers, to London and the BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker. Morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
What do you think is driving these share prices downward on a global basis? Do you think it's China's devaluation on the 11th of August, or what that devaluation tells us about the weakness in China's economy?
I think you could argue that both elements are involved there. The devaluation certainly does create some potential problems for economies around the world, companies in particular that are exporting to China, who face more intense competition as a result of a cheaper yuan. But at the same time, the devaluation is also telling you that the slowdown in China is very real, and that in turn is something that creates some challenges for the rest of the world, particularly, for example, commodity exporters, the likes of Australia, who are very much dependent on selling things to China.
The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker in London. The 100-share index in London is down 4.1% now. The DAX index in Germany, in Frankfurt, Germany, is down 3.8%. The Nikkei fell 4.6% in Japan. And where's the money going if not stocks? Well, U.S. government bonds is one answer, with the yield on the 10-year note down to 1.98%. A slower world economy would use less oil. Crude, using the Texas benchmark price, WTI, is down more than 4% at $38.81 a barrel. Players in the automobile industry are showing up for what's become the annual Autonomous Cars Conference in Detroit. Autonomous, as in the thing drives itself. Car makers still have a lot to solve, but you can already buy vehicles that parallel park themselves and raise an alarm if you drift out of your lane. And one key focus of this year's event will be cybersecurity, after several cases of hackers getting into the computers of cars. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
When most of us talk about car safety, most of us think about things like seatbelts, snow tires, and drunk driving. Not Pete Sampson with the firm Security Innovation.
theoretically, hackers can take over all control of the car, can take control of the steering wheel, can take control of the brakes, can take control of the engine and shut it off.
If your vehicle's computer is networked to any other computer, your vehicle is vulnerable. Kathleen Fisher of Tufts University says automakers are beginning to recognize that now they must become software companies too.
It's going to take significant more investment in the software that is running the cars. It's going to take a culture of assuming that attackers are trying to break in and thinking in a defensive mindset.
Fisher says a bill moving through the Senate, the Spy Car Act, may force the industry to make necessary changes. If done right, she says that could make hacking so hard, attackers would look for easier marks. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
We'll be following both on the air and at marketplace.org what is starting out here as day three of sharp global declines in stock prices. Repeating, the Dow future is now down 3.9%, with the stock market opening in about a half an hour. Some perspective here: on the worst day of the October 1987 stock market crash, the Dow had fallen about 22.3% in that single day. That was before market circuit breakers were instituted to stem volatility. Coming to you today from studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey, as our New York Bureau gets an overhaul, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.